So for this week and the next 2 weeks, our messages will be inspired by the book Finding Yourself in Transition by Unity Minister Robert Brummett. And the subtitle of the book is Using Life's Changes for Spiritual Awakening. And that's the key concept of this short series, Using Life's Changes for Spiritual Awakening. It is so easy to say that, and not always so easy to do that. Because as noted in the Butterfly song, sometimes those changes are scary and really amount to a big change in how things are going to be. And in this book, it is based on the story of the Exodus, the narrative of the Israelites moving from slavery in Egypt to the Promised Land. And that story is rife with drama and symbolism. It is a big, long story, and it has so much richness. We could pull symbols and meaning from every single segment, and we're going to do that, which is why today's service will go until 9 p.m. Just kidding. It goes till noon. Just thought you'd... It worked in rehearsal. So in this story, Robert Brummett uses the story as a backdrop for individuals, for people, when they find themselves in transition. And he identifies three areas of transition that every transition experience has. The first is the ending, which can be quick or gradual. An ending may not immediately be recognized, but the ending is the impetus for the next phase, which is what he calls the void. And in the void, also referred to as wandering, and the Israelites wandered for 40 years, is that period when we often feel lost and confused. It's like, what are we going to do next? The thing ended. I don't really know what the next thing looks like. It's just kind of, we're kind of like just wandering. It's got a lot of emotion to that. We'll talk more about that next week. And then the third piece is new beginnings. Phew, we are all ready to get there. To get to the promised land, which is the new and improved normal. Whatever that's going to be. You know, we talk about the post-COVID world and how it will be the new and hopefully improved normal, but we don't really know what that looks like yet, but it's coming. So today we're going to focus on endings and departures and that sort of thing. Now, there are two ways in which we experience endings. There's the easy way and the hard way. So the easy way are the things that we anticipate and we celebrate and they're filled with joy. Like last week's service where we honored our high school graduates. It's like, yay, that's a big accomplishment. We're excited about it. And yet it represents an ending, the ending of high school career. Getting a new job or a promotion, that's an ending because the old job is done. And we move into the new job, which has all of its new things. Hopefully more money, as a matter of fact. We look at the accomplishment of any goal, whether it's a wellness goal or a fiduciary goal or a relationship goal, often come with a lot of work. Like getting married, that's a new thing, but it also represents the end of being single. Or when you have your first child, that's the end of just being the two of us. It's now the three of us or four of us or five of us if you have triplets. You know, that sort of thing. And the easy endings don't seem to get as much attention, do they, as the difficult endings or the difficult departures, such as a financial loss or divorce or experiencing a disease or a natural disaster or violence or going to that first 12-step meeting. So the Exodus story begins, it has a lot of steps to it, and I would read you the first 12 chapters of the book of Exodus, but again, if I did that, we would be here till 9 o'clock, and clearly we're not going to. So here's the very quick, simple overview. The Israelites came to Egypt long ago, brought by Joseph because he had food. They established themselves and were fruitful and multiplied. Then eventually a new Pharaoh, a new ruler, and we're going to focus a lot on Pharaoh today, comes into power, and he's afraid of the Israelites. They're getting too numerous, and he's afraid that they might join an enemy. And so what he does, he institutes all kinds of repression and hard work and taskmasters on them and makes life really hard. But then God hears about the crying of the people and sends Moses to go and negotiate with Pharaoh for the release of the Israelites. And that's a big, nasty confrontation and ultimates in 10 plagues, 10 horrible experiences on the Egyptians. And finally, it got so bad that Pharaoh consents. And we have this on the slide. This is from Exodus chapter 12. And during the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and go. And also bless me." Bless me? But wasn't Pharaoh the oppressor? Of all the nerve. Pharaoh can be a symbol for both an interior and an exterior power whose power must end. And this is the key here. The ending comes when we say to Pharaoh, "No more." Pharaoh can be an idea interior to each one of us as an individual. Pharaoh may show up in the collective. So as an interior power, Pharaoh can be a limiting belief or thought or an attitude or memory which controls and limits our individual capacity to demonstrate or manifest our good. Pharaoh shows up when we hear ourselves saying things like, "I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I don't deserve." You see, these are Pharaoh in the inner world. Pharaoh's that awful tape that just keeps playing in the back of our minds, short-circuiting the truth of who we are and what we can be and what we can do. And Pharaoh shows up as an exterior power, as a systemic limiting belief or attitude or memory that controls or limits our collective capacity to demonstrate or manifest the collective good. Slavery, the forced removal of Native Americans, Jim Crow, segregation, redlining, anti-Semitism, homophobia, xenophobia. These are examples of Pharaoh in the outer world. You see, but ultimately, we are charged, both individually and collectively, to spiritually awaken to our own power and to leave Pharaoh behind. But are we required to bless Pharaoh wherever he is found? Well, consider this. The act of blessing is also the act of release, of letting go. So in a sense, Pharaoh is conveying an important message to the Israelites and to me and to you. That if we don't bless, if we don't release whatever form Pharaoh is taking, we'll never be free. We will be stuck to Pharaoh like glue. So this is so easy to say. I can say it all day long. It's the doing that's the hard part, isn't it? You see, for us individually, wherever Pharaoh lives, Pharaoh was created and lives in the interior landscape of our lives as the result of every life experience we have ever had, every thought we have ever had, every feeling we have ever had. Along with all the good stuff that we have, and that's the vast majority of it, so yay us, there's Pharaoh seeking to control and to limit. we have to let Pharaoh go. And yes, in our cultural landscape, Pharaoh has always shown up in every culture and every time in one way, shape, form, or another. We have to bless Pharaoh and let him go. You see, because we are always finding ourselves in transition. Yesterday is gone. Today is a new day. We are experiencing whatever came before in a new way. It's not so obvious between yesterday and today, but between 10 years ago and today, it's very obvious where we have come from as individuals and collectively. You see, for any transition and every transition to be constructive, which is what we want, we want to make meaning and have something purposeful and positive come out of our transitions. In order for these transitions to be powerful demonstrations of the growth of consciousness, we have to commit to doing the work. Even if that means, like the Israelites, wandering for 40 years, it's going to take as long as it takes. 40 is just a number that says it takes as long as it takes. But more often than not, once we make that ending, we discover that the work is bigger and deeper than we could have ever imagined. I mean, how often has any of us ever said, if I had known it was going to be this much work, I probably wouldn't have started. And so the key is to bless or release that which came before, and to affirm the lessons learned. And that doesn't mean a spiritual bypass, we just say, okay, it was all good, I'm ready to move forward now. That means in our own individual transitions and in our collective transitions, we are required to clearly state and articulate what happened. This is why we often remind people, if you want to get your sobriety back and your serenity back, you have to be able to acknowledge your part in creating the experience. Not about blame, just simply acknowledging. And it works in the collective as well. Although it's a little dicier when you include millions of people in that process. Example. A friend of mine recently responded to a Facebook post of mine saying, can't we just drop the race thing? To which I replied, after I ceased being apoplectic, no. No more than I can drop the LGBT thing as a gay man, I'm not going to drop it, or the Native American thing, or the feminist thing, or the whatever thing, I gave a list. You see, the murder of George Floyd is awakening those who weren't already awake to the systemic disparities. I'll just go with that. That exist in this country and have since 1619. The dispiriting effects of racism on people of color, no, that's not right, on everybody. Because when the gifts and contributions of any segment of the population are curtailed, we all lose. I just wonder what gifts and talents could have already been brought to the surface if they were nurtured. See, these are all examples of Pharaoh and his fear that they will fight against us and leave the country. It's almost a case of, I hate you, don't leave me. I hate you, don't leave me. You know, how dysfunctional is that? You may have had experience or witnessed relationships that have that sort of unhealthy dynamic. That's not how we're going to move forward, folks. We're going to move forward together. I've been on several calls lately with Unity clergy and with church members in which we've addressed both the effects of the pandemic and how we're going to reopen our churches and what process that's going to take and how we're going to reassemble and that sort of thing, and racism and all of its effects and ramifications. These are both hard topics to discuss as they strike at the heart of our social fabric. But both must be discussed. That's why our reopening task team is taking the time it takes to get us all back together safely. And that's why our communities are addressing the effects of racism. Ideally, both conversations will be held with the three C's: candor, clarity, and compassion. Imperative all around. You know, this is an opportunity for us. Every day is an opportunity if we choose to take it. Every moment's a teachable moment if we're willing to be taught. I mean, I think about the number of people who have credited the hard times in their lives for awakening their power. I've spoken to people who have regained their sobriety or their health by hitting rock bottom and say, man, I'm so glad that happened. And I'm like, what? That is a crazy thing to say. But it taught them who they were and what they could do and how they could overthrow Pharaoh, even if Pharaoh shows up as cancer. I've seen in my own life the hardest periods of time that I have experienced are the ones where in which I have grown the most and I've been able to say, my goodness gracious, I do got some power I can use for good. You know, sometimes it just has to get bad enough that we get tired enough that we can hear those words in our minds and in our hearts that are attributed to God in the Exodus story in which he said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and bring them up out to that land and broad, good and broad land flowing with milk and honey. There is something within us that awakens and says this to our ego mind that says, get up. Do something. Don't just sit there. When we talk about the power of spirit within, the power of Christ within, that's what we're talking about. That voice, that emanation, that knowing hits us. Sometimes when we are flat on our back and it says, get up. Make things different because you can. Because you have to. If you're going to keep taking up space. You know, for some folks, that means going to a 12-step meeting with an aching heart and a shaking hand and picking up a white chip. And for some folks, that means stepping out in public with a sign that says, Black Lives Matter. I will say the names. Both collective, individual, are steps taken as a part of transition. Are steps saying to Pharaoh, you're done. They represent endings. And then they set up this new next phase. One of my colleagues, Reverend Edith Washington Woods from Unity San Diego, put it this way. She said, our fifth principle, it's not enough to know the truth, we must live the truth, provides the moral imperative for us to support our second principle, that every human being has a spark of the divine. So whether we are, for example, supporting individuals in our community to attain their sobriety and their serenity or their equality, we have a moral imperative to act. She went on to say something that I will hopefully remember for as long as I can. Let me rephrase that for the rest of my life. Sometimes my memory is just woefully short. She went on to say, the thought part of new thought is the basis for action. It's the actions that we need now. We've always needed the actions. So whatever is going on in your life, we are charged, all of us, to move from thought to action. However, that spirit within moves us to do so. So Moses and the Israelites took action and began a monumental transition experience. They blessed Pharaoh. They left. They took all their stuff. So they ended their time with Pharaoh. So the question for us to ponder in the coming week before we get onto the void is for us to consider, what actions have we taken? What endings have we experienced in our lives, whether we consciously set them in play or the universe set them up for us? And then look at our lives now in this pandemic phase, when we're trying to figure out what's going to be next, how we're going to re-emerge, what actions are we taking to end the pharaohs we encounter now? Whether we are focused on our individual life and the issues that we experience, or whether we're looking collectively, there is a land of milk and honey waiting for us. It's waiting for us. We have to go there. And the first step to going there is to say to Pharaoh, farewell. We're done. I'm awakening to my power, even if it's very much with fear and trembling. And I'm moving on. We don't have to be afraid of change, because change is always going to happen. We don't have to be afraid of transitions, because really that's the law of the world. We just need to remember, each and every one of us, whatever we're doing, however we're guided, wherever we are, God is. Peace be with you, and namaste.